Hi, thank you so much for being here. This is the last panel of the conference, I believe, so thank you. My name is Megan Shibona. I'm producing this experiment we're calling Tag You're It, and these are clips from that experiment. So I'm going to explain it to you. So actually, there's a handout on some of your chairs to actually try out this experiment. But basically, you have a piece of paper that's folded in three, and you draw some sort of head on that first panel, and then you pass it on to someone else, and they draw some sort of torso of some kind, a robot torso, a tree torso, whatever, they didn't look at your head. And then they pass it on, and somebody else draws some sort of legs and feet. And when you open it up, you have something that's created by three people, and it's now a collaboration, and you can't really tell sort of where one artist started and another began. So we decided to apply that to filmmaking. And so what we're doing is we are creating 4 to 5 minute shorts, and we're passing on the last minute of our short to another filmmaker who watches that and finds some inspiration from that last minute and then creates a short of their own. And then on and on, they pass that on. And the only thing that, so when it's your turn, the only thing you get is the last minute of the segment before you. You get headshots from all the actors for all the other segments, and you get one piece of evidence or prop which will help you to create something that will provide some continuity from the one before you. And that filmmaker is allowed to request something of you. So use the color pink, use my dog, whatever. And you can either do that or not. So what you're seeing here is the last minutes of the first four segments. So just so you have an idea of what each filmmaker sees when they start this process. So the idea is we are going to continue this experiment for about 20 filmmakers, and we're going to end up with a feature, and we're hoping that there will be a through line and that it'll be a wonderful watchable film. It's an experiment. So we thought it would be interesting to talk about what the process has been like. And up here we have one representative from each sort of piece of filmmaking. So we have an editor, a writer, an actor, a DP, and a director. So with that, I would like everyone to introduce themselves. Elle, you want to start?
My name's Allison Mao. I am a assistant editor at a post house in New York, and I also have a production group that I work with that's all women. Is that
good enough? Mm-hmm. Okay. And hi, everybody. I'm Jason Nunes, the voice of God. And I am a writer. I also have a background in interactive design, application design, et cetera. But for this project, I'm the person who came up with the concept in the first place, and I wrote the first segment. And just so you think that I'm not up here self-aggrandizing, I actually am a writer. I've got a couple of films that have been optioned or are in production. So it's not like I'm just, anyway, I'll stop now.
Stacey?
Hi, I'm Stacey Capone, and I'm an actress. I also do some producing, mainly for things that I can, of course, act in. And I'm in three of the first four segments, so.
Completely accidentally.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Don Downey. I'm not nearly as cool as Jason Nunes is, but I am an all-around digital filmmaker. I direct, I DP, I do a lot of stuff. For this project, I was director of photography for the first segment, and I guess I'm here to talk about pictures.
Scott.
My name's Scott Soleri. I'm a filmmaker. I've done a lot of short experimental films. I currently just finished a feature documentary. And I also am a producer at CBS Interactive. I do Wall Street and Mob Logic. So I do daily web shows.
Okay. So we're going to do some, I'm going to ask them some questions, and then I will open it up to you guys to ask some more questions. So my first question is for Jason, who thought of this idea. So how did you think of this idea, and what is the purpose of the project?
Okay. So it really came out of some work that we were doing, I'd say a year and a half ago, where we were doing an online web series where we wanted to give control of the story back to the audience. So at the end of each segment, we would ask the audience what they wanted to have happen next. They would vote, and then we would quickly rush and write and shoot and and edit and publish the next segment. And what kind of fascinated me about it was this idea of kind of losing control and giving control over to your audience, and how that writers tend to be kind of creative obsessives, and what would happen if I was forced to write something that maybe I didn't connect with. That was a very interesting experiment, but it didn't quite go far enough. And so from my background in the interactive world, I was really interested in how users are able to kind of craft their own experience on the web. And I thought, hey, that's really interesting. Maybe we could take this a step further, and we could actually get individual creators together and see if there's something kind of universal about story, if some kind of structure will emerge magically from having 20 people kind of collaborate on something, or if it's all going to just completely fall apart and be sort of an unwatchable mess, which is the fear. So that's kind of where it came from. So far it's been fascinating experience, and has it's gone places that I didn't expect that it would, and I'm really still very excited about it. And it's not a mess yet.
But we're only on segment 5. Scott?
Yes.
Tell me, as a filmmaker, tell us about the process. So you get 2 weeks to make this film. You had an idea in mind beforehand, and you thought you would be able to use that, right?
Yeah.
So what happened once you got the minute, and how did it affect the story that you were told?
It was really interesting because I was really hoping for like this flash of inspiration, building up and waiting for Allie and them to finish their film. I started coming up with ideas, but you couldn't think forward because you don't have what you're going to actually use. So it was really kind of limited. So by the time I got it, I had gone through so many different scenarios of what I wanted to do and couldn't pursue it. So then when I got it, it was kind of like, wow, what do I do? And then I didn't know. But the part of the rules was that was so great is it really served as the absolute moment of inspiration, because they gave me some fake eyelashes and asked me to use orange juice. And I thought of it for a couple of days and figured out to put the eyelash in the orange juice. And that started the whole thing. So I had always wanted to do, this was the first chance I was around a green screen and also having the capability of shooting in HD. So I knew I wanted to do that, and I knew I wanted to be a strong woman's role in society, where men have put them and what they can do about it. And then I wanted to do just something that I knew it had to be short. So I'm not really good at comedy. So I needed to have like one joke or one, in and out and something in the end. That's my guy drinking stuff in the bathroom up there. That's the punchline. I really put it to a lot of people around me. It was the most collaborative things that I've done. And I said, this is what I think their movie's about. I have to use orange juice, I have your eyelashes. This is what I want to do. And basically someone came up with, this part of the idea, like how about a blender and how about this and how about that? And next thing I knew, I just wrote the script in like 5 minutes and it was great. And I really am happy with it now. So shot it on the weekend. Let's see, I wrote it on Thursday, shot on Saturday, did it all in one day, and then edited it for the next 4 days after working 10-hour days. So it was quite exhausting, but it was also great.
Excellent, thank you. Don, as a DP, how did this experience differ for you than any other shoot? What did you learn about cinematography?
Sure. The first time you asked this question, I said it didn't differ at all. And then I've had more time to think about it, and it actually really does. Since what we're doing is creating a short piece of a film in like a relatively short amount of time and without any chance to do a lot of pre-planning or a lot of like big vision plotting of what you're going to shoot. Artistically, it was just fun to just deal with what was in front of me and try to use sort of a film technique and sort of that sort of narrative storytelling technique with what we have. And being here over the past few days, part of what that has made me think a lot about is that all of this, anytime you're shooting video on the internet, it's almost always on this ridiculous short schedule and this ridiculous not planned schedule, and then you have to get it done and turn around another one immediately. And pretty much like everything that we've done on the internet in the past has actually been sort of the same thing. And I think it's just really fun to turn this around and take that sort of energy onto a film screen and see how it plays, see if it'll blend. I also wanted to say I really love that Scott doing Wall Strip did this like blue screen thing and applied all the tools that they have learned doing Wall Strip to make a film, and I'm kind of blown away at how effective that is.
Thanks.
Yeah, and that's actually, we should say that's one of our goals too, is to try to get it outside of just, you know, narrative filmmaking world, like to see how somebody who's, you know, does a dance performance might make a segment, or somebody who writes drama might make a segment, or somebody's an animator might make a segment. So, I mean, is there something that we all hang on to that's story, or is it something that's completely different for every single one of us?
Yeah, and I just want to add to that also. We've watched the first four segments, and we're shocked at how watchable it is as a 20-minute short. And there is a through line, and everyone's explored similar themes. And the other thing is that a little bit cultural, the way that we watch things? And so the other thing is that we're going to bring this global. So, what's going to happen when, you know, there's no more sort of cultural reference? And so it'll be interesting to see if that changes it as well. Okay, Stacy, tell us about your experience as an actress and what you brought to the three segments that you were part of. And I know you were worried about through lines. So how did you deal with that? How did you use your creative control?
Yes, I was very, I'm an actress, and so I like to tell stories, and I like to have the audience get involved in the story and invest it and take a trip. And so I was very worried about, in the beginning, about continuity and would there be a through line? Would there be a story if people watch the whole thing? And so I got to be in the first segment, and that was great. And then the request that we had of the second segment was to use me in their piece. So it was a way to keep the continuity. And I actually found out that I found by doing that segment, I was only in the very small piece of it because they were kind of worried about continuity. They wanted to keep it continuous, and they were worried that if they used me, it might not be in the right way. Like I might not be the same character if they wrote a story for me. So they only used me in a little bit, and which was totally fine because I got freedom to use my character because they were concerned about that. And then I wasn't in the third segment, but the fourth segment was a mockumentary, and it was really fun. I'm used to doing scripted work, and this one wasn't scripted at all. It was more like improvising, and the director gave us like 10 different poems to choose from and said, you know, pick one and come to set. And so I was like, okay. So I had no idea what was going to happen. And I got to set, and he said, okay, so you have your poem. Can you be bitchy? And I was like, sure, I can be bitchy. And he was like, okay, it's a character that I often play. And then he was like, okay, so, you know, pick a name for your character. And you know, like, think about, like, maybe this is her story, maybe this is her story. I don't know, just pick a name and, like, go with it. And I was like, oh, well, here's my chance to keep the continuity. Here's this thread I can pull through. And so I chose the name of the character from the first segment. And I chose her profession, and I just kind of played her. And it was really fun. Did I answer your question?
You did. Well, one other thing. You mentioned that you've never worked without a script, that's sort of one of your requirements for roles. And you mentioned after doing this that that's something that you would consider. Is that true?
Yes. So I normally would shy away from doing improv film. there was someone that I knew that was directing like a feature at improv, and I was just like, no, you know, I like scripts. I'm an actress. Just give me the words and then I can get into the character more. I'm not a writer. I don't want to make up the lines. And so after, I was a little bit worried about the fourth segment, but I had the poem. So I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to do this poem. I know these lines. And then after doing it, I was like, wow, that was really fun. It like gave me a totally different freedom. I still had the character from before, so it was kind of exciting. And now I will actually maybe consider doing an improv film more. Woohoo!
Woohoo! Okay, and Allie, as our editor, so you had less than 2 weeks to finish, much less than 2 weeks to finish after you shot. How did you deal with that? And were there considerations to tie the story before and after?
Well, when we came up with creating our story, our group is, it's all women, it's five women. And one of the things that we like to do is make stories about women. So that was sort of our grounding point of, we're going to make a film about a girl. So however the Meg's film ends, we're going to tie it in somehow. And we had kind of a rough shoot because we lost our lead like 2 weeks or 2 days before our shoot and had to find another one. And we had the one with the little girl in it. So it's a lot harder to find a really good little female actress. So when it came to editing, on set, we had our editing station because we shot in HD, and we had someone putting together our sequences on set so that when I got to it that evening, we could start. And I mean, the way Scott talked, how he worked 10 hours a week, I think I was working 14 hours a week that week. And so I'd get home at 11 and start working from 11 to about 2 in the morning to edit. And our group is perfectionist, so time restraint is a really big problem for us. So my director had come over Thursday night and sat and saw the first pass of it. And we sat for about 5 hours tweaking. Just, we'd done the last scene so that we could get the last minute perfected. And we spent about 5 hours working on just the last minute. And then she went home and I worked another 2 hours. And then she came over the next day, and by the next day, we were both OD'd on editing, and we had to get a third person from our group to come see it so that we knew we weren't freaking out that did it work or did it not work, and kind of worked it out to the end and gave it to Scott when we were done. And we actually didn't get to, we ran really late on our shoot because we didn't get to shoot the last shot that we wanted to shoot, so Scott ended up getting something a little different than what we wanted. And it was really hard trying to figure out how to make that, our last shot, work then in order to make it more open-ended for him, because what we had originally was much more open-ended and actually made a much stronger through line from Meg's piece to his piece. So it was kind of a bookend that we'd wanted to do and didn't get to do.
But it still works. Yeah. So I'm going to actually open it up for questions. Does anyone have any questions now? Yes?
So did they have titles as you passed it along? Was there not even a title?
No, we actually talked about that. Someone said, what's the title of your film? We were like, we didn't even bother titling it. No, there's no title.
We have all titled them, though, I
think. Yeah. Yeah. I think at the end, you know, in the credits for the feature, there will be titles for each one. But in general, like, the idea is for you not to necessarily know, you know, where one ends and the next one begins. And that's something this group here, Allie's group, tried really hard to blend. Their first shot is actually really very similar to our last shot.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to break things up like that.
Yeah, and we actually met together. We found a bunch of people who were interested in the project, people that we knew, people that we didn't. And we met together several times and tried to figure out a set of rules that we would follow for passing on, you know, a segment. And we had a lot of debate and a lot of, you know, near fisticuffs about, you know, exactly what is too much constraint and what is, you know, just barely, what's, you know, too little constraint. And, you know, the idea is that with the drawing exercise, Exquisite Corpse, you leave little lines maybe where the neck would be, and the next artist can use them or ignore them completely. So we wanted to give those little lines, you know, but we basically decided on trying to kind of make it as limited as possible to kind of, you know, see how, you know, where they would naturally kind of, where their creativity would kind of spark and where they would run with it.
Yes? Allie or Scott?
Because we I'm thinking what it would do. I think it almost might confine you a little bit more because you would know this story and you're going to know that you're carrying it on, and it might like kind of make you have to do something like that. Whereas when it's just this minute and I have this, you know, kind of strange conversation happen and this girl with the eyelash on her face turns and leaves the door with an empty drink, you know, it's kind of like, you know, really like freeing, because then you're just like, well, I can kind of take this anywhere. I think that might be what happened, at least with me, in the way I would work with it.
Yeah, and we've since come up with about 65,000 different ways to do this. So we're like, oh, the next one we'll get, you know, 20 filmmakers and they'll watch the entire segment and then they'll shoot and
go backwards.
We'll but go I think backwards, in, going
backwards.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think in the the surrealists were trying to experiment, you know, in terms of what comes out of your subconscious and you know, trying to break structure a little bit, and you know, I think that's, we're trying to be a little bit true to the original experiment. And are we successful? I don't know. But.
And the other nice thing about it only being the last minute, and this is only for the first four segments, but there is this through line and it really does work. And one thing I learned is there's so much you can get out of that last minute. And yeah, I think if like you got 5 minutes, you would maybe have more of a brushstroke. This way, it seems like everybody really studies that minute and they're like, okay, there's that in the corner. Why is that there? You know, so they pay attention to those details and then they seem to add them into their 5 minute thing. So yeah, one, like everyone precious. Said, like, yeah, the one of the lessons learned is like every little thing counts. So I think that, like, yeah, maybe you'd see the same characters, the same names and stuff. But
and there's a responsibility as the filmmaker of the previous piece to pack that minute with, you know, as much hints and clues, and, well, but also like trying to also leave it open and.
Yes. Oh, my goodness! I'll tell you. No. So what happened was, so Jason thought of this project and we decided to go forth and we sort of contacted everyone we knew and we had this meeting and people brought people they knew. I mean, the idea is we don't want to work with people that we know because we, you know, we know their aesthetic. Just the people we know. We like the people we know. And so we sat down and we decided on the rules.
What? Now that you know me, you'll never work with me again.
Right, so we found Scott because Jason is in a writer's group with Scott's wife. So we don't really know anything about him or what he does, but now we know him. And there's another filmmaker in the room who doesn't want to be pointed out, but we also didn't know him, and he made that mockumentary. So the answer is no. But the ground rules basically were create a 4 to 5 minute short, and then we got very specific. No less than 2 minutes, no more than 6. I'm blanking. What are the other rules?
You have 2 weeks to shoot it.
Yes. We wanted to provide a hint, really. And we wanted, and you know, as a producer and I'm also a director, I'm a total control freak. And so part of it is like, let go of control. You know, don't tell them how to tell their story. You know, so no.
Part of the fun of this is that I sort of operate under a theory that a couple of simple restrictions that are either imposed on you or that you impose on yourself creates problems that then creates good art, because you've got something to solve. You're not, there's no worse enemy to the writer or the painter, or I even think the filmmaker, than just a blank canvas. You have to find something to fill it, or you have to find a place to start. And part of this was just to say, like, the rules are simple. You get 1 minute, you got 2 weeks to do it. Someone might hand you a prop and they might hand you an idea, and that's it. And I mean, as far as the other part of your question about aesthetics, the goal here is actually to let this go as aesthetically crazy as possible. One of these pieces that ended up being a mockumentary was posited to someone who we knew did documentary film and thought it could potentially be a documentary, maybe on his left foot. We didn't know what it would be. And it's already aesthetically all over the place. By chance, 3 of the 4 first pieces shot their footage on the same camera, and yet we ended up with delivery of three different brands of footage that that camera can put on. I mean, it's just we're leaving it open and kind of seeing what happens.
So I think the real reason is that what we're interested in, and this really comes out of this is a joint panel, what's going on in terms of the interactive world and content and things like mashups and what happens when you lose ownership or control of your content, what happens when you lose ownership or control of your story, what does that mean as somebody who creates, and what is that, so this was an experiment around kind of radical collaboration, but really it's more about surrendering ownership and having the courage to kind of like, give as little as possible, have as little a bit of control as possible over the next piece that's connected to yours and see exactly what happens. I mean, you're absolutely right. There's so many more kind of fun, interesting things that you could do. And I mean, I think we could, again, spend the next 10 years spinning off different kind of weird, exquisite corpse style projects from this. And we may do it because it's a lot of fun. But for now, we're really kind of focusing on, in a world of, where, some kid can record something off TV and mash it together with, a song and put it up on YouTube and get a million hits. Who's the owner of that piece of content? Who's the owner of that story, right? So that's kind of a little bit of what we were playing around with and experimenting with,
if that answers. And just kind of talk a little bit about what you were talking,
We were all out till 4 last night.
Okay, I'll take your question.
So the last filmmaker, will she or he have seen the other pieces? And the reason I ask is because long form improv is so beautiful because the last act
right
picks up on.
Well, so we want to find probably somebody amazing to do our last segment, and they'll have access to all the final minutes of the previous pieces. So, if we're lucky, but again, this is an experiment. It's not like we're not really up here trying to make the next Sundance film. We're really experimenting with pushing our own limits.
Would the last will change the rules to be able to see all proceedings?
Well, they'll see the last minutes of each segment.
The minutes are on the website.
We're only requiring people to base it on the minute before. And if somebody gets it and they're like, I don't want to watch a thing, I'm going to watch the minute before and I'm going to make that happen, they can make that happen. But we're hosting all of our minutes at a time on Blip TV, thank you, on a website. And we're assuming that people are going to be curious and see what has come before and maybe thread some things in from previous pieces.
But there's a pretty big risk here, obviously, right? I mean, this could just be a big mess, right? So actually what's really surprising, because we've seen all the segments that have been produced, is actually how well they fit together. It's kind of shocking to me because I was actually under the assumption that this was going to just be, of course I'm going to surrender control, and because I don't have control, it's going to be this big ugly mess and why would anybody want to watch it? But it's actually really kind of compelling and interesting. And there's a through line that I would never have predicted to be there, which is fascinating to me. Now, probably it remains to be seen how fascinating it would be to anybody else. So,
And the audience, I think, will fill in the gaps. I think you'll kind of put your... I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
You'll fill in the gaps, and I think the final experiment will be the watching of it and having to find the through lines, and that the through lines aren't traditional ones. It's not going to be necessarily story or a character, but little props might be floating through, and there might be the same actors, and so that's going to be the last part of the experiment. I think is trying to watch it,
but it would be nice to have it all sum up.
Well, and to that, we were also considering maybe the first people that did the first segment would then do the last segment and tie it up. We haven't decided. Who knows what'll happen?
We haven't agreed on that yet.
Yeah, it was just an idea that we threw out. So maybe we'll end up doing the first segment and the last segment. Who knows?
Yes. Yes.
Don't duck it.
Okay. Okay. Here's the honest truth. There's no budget at all. So part of agreeing to be part of this is everybody produces their own segment with their own funds, their own resources. I offer my services as a producer. So I help with casting and help people get crew and all of that. And we own a camera. And so if, you know, people need to use a camera, we have it. There's absolutely no budget. And so far, people are like, you know, we're like, hey, it doesn't pay. It's a fun little 2-week experiment. You know, gets you out of your life of whatever else you're doing. Like the guy who did segment 4 has been working on a documentary for years. And, you know, just to get out of that space. And so really, that's what's happening. So, you know, we pay for food and, you know, I don't, honestly, there's no budget and we're just going to pay for things as we go along. But we will need an editor at the end to make it look nice, and we're going to need somebody to do sound editing. We're going to need a colorist and all that. And so, I don't know.
Mike will be calling in favors.
Yeah.
Basically, if Bob and Harvey Weinstein are in the room,
and technically it's
we'll take cards.
Right.
Okay.
It's not no budget because we all are paid professionals and we're all donating our time to it. So, but really, it's no budget.
Right. Yes.
The second segment they were
just got.
Oh no,
the second. Oh, your second. Segment.
Yes, the second segment of the group, which is Allison's. The director, one of the directors, one of the girls from the groups, while I was there shooting, had said to me, "You know, is this okay? Do we do the right thing? Like, is it continuous? Is it?" Like, will it work with your other character? And which is how I realized that they were just worried about, like, they wanted to fit in, which I think is great because I'm like all for continuity. So all I said to them was, yeah, it totally works, because it was just a small, it could be anything really, like that character. And I kept the character from the first segment, like, in the back of my head. Like, I let them pick my costume, do my makeup, like, they did all of that. Like, I had no control over that. I just said, whatever you think, you know, like, go for it. Sure, that's great. And I just had the girl in the back of my mind, like, with the one line. And then in the fourth segment, which was the mockumentary, the director just kind of gave me free rein, and I was like, oh, yay. So, but he did give me the thing, can you be bitchy? So I was like, okay. So my character in the first one wasn't really that bitchy. She had like a moment, but I was like, yes, I can play bitchy and that's totally fine. You know, she's having a bad day. Great. And so I did pull from the first segment. Like I used her job and I used a scenario that happened in the first segment. Like I talked about it and it was really fun. So... But he had no idea. Like he didn't ask. I didn't tell him. I told him recently after he finished his edit and handed it over to Meg, and we saw the minute and we were talking, and Megan was like, tell him what you did. Tell him your secret.
But we did make all the actors promise to, yeah. You know, respect the wishes of the director. So if the
right.
director says,
exactly.
You know, you're a lesbian in the first segment, you're straight in the second segment, yeah. You're straight.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I would never go against, like, if the director or the writer was like, you know, I would never go up to them and say, well, I don't think you should do that. I think maybe you should go in this direction. No, it would just be really fun to try to figure out how this new character actually fits with my old character and how I can play this new character and, you know, still maybe somehow be true to the and keep the continuity going.
We sort of obsessed about continuity questions in before we started this, and you know, we're thinking about like, do we really have to work on the actors to make sure that they keep these secrets, and do we really have to work on not having if someone crews to things, not giving away too much? And we figured out by the third segment that I mean these things are go so left field so fast, it's just a mashup, and any little thing that sneaks back in is actually just like good dramatic karma looking out for us.
Ali, do you want to talk about that also? Because you cast Stacey in the second segment and sort of what the considerations were in creating her storyline.
So when we got Meg's last minute, we sat for about 2 hours trying to figure out, one, what their last minute was about, because we had no idea. There was no dialogue. It was just Stacey walking down a street. And they had requested that we use Stacey. And one of the things that we were most afraid of was a continuity issue of making a character for Stacey that was that negated what her character was in the first segment. So we kind of decided we'd go on a completely different storyline, but something that thematically worked with their last minute. So we used a lot of what they did in their last minute, and it's filtered throughout the whole 5 minute of our piece. And so when we brought in Stacey, she is just a secondary character, but it kind of adds, it's like a nice little surprise, I think, if you don't know that she's gonna be in the second segment, that she pops up and you're like, oh, she's from, okay. Yeah. And that's kind of how we decided to go about incorporating her into our piece.
Mm-hmm. And it's also going to get interesting when, you know, we have someone in Azerbaijan who does a segment and, you know, doesn't have access to any of our actors or any of our locations or any of that. So just putting it out there. You know. We'll see what happens.
Anybody's from Azerbaijan.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah, that's Megan, are we looking for other directors?
Oh, we are looking for other directors, yes. We're really trying to get this out of the people that we know. Friends of friends we know or whatever. So yes, we're looking for other directors, and we are looking for playwrights, animators, experimental filmmakers, doc filmmakers from all over the world. So yeah, keep that in mind.
Submit.
Come talk
to me.
Yeah. Okay. Or submit through the website. Mm-hmm.
If anyone knows a green filmmaker who makes digital cinema without using electricity, we really want to meet that person.
Windmill powered.
Yes.
So would you consider putting the final product out for an additional remix once it's completely fixed?
Absolutely.
We actually talked about that. Yeah.
That's where it could get interesting. Take your whole mix. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, that's a great idea.
Yep. Mm-hmm. We've been thinking about, you know, because Creative Commons allows you to kind of do stuff like that. And we've been absolutely thinking, once there's this all this raw materials there, what could somebody do with this thing?
Put it back in order.
Yep. Yeah, exactly. Have it finally make sense.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Here, you try and make a story out of it.
Yeah, please, somebody try to make a story. I believe there was like a pretty big. Yeah.
And one of the things that it goes back to what I was going to tell you earlier, each filmmaker is taking it kind of their responsibility for what they have for the other filmmakers. So these like unwritten rules of, you know, the kind of story I've chose to tell and the structure that I chose to use and how I did it, because I know someone's coming behind me and I know that like it doesn't do anybody any good if I like blow up the world, you know what I mean? We're like, now you've got to go live somewhere else, you know? That was kind of an interesting thing that was like this unwritten rule, because you're hoping the people before you are obeying that unwritten rule, and then you also pass that on. And I felt really bad for the guy behind me, because my film takes this really quick turn. But once in that collaborative writing meeting, we came up with that idea, it just had to be that way. And it was my third act, and so I gave him his third act, and it's just so different from the other two. So, but he was able to, I think, pull something really cool out of it. So
Scott, ours is like that too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, great.
But maybe that's the nature. Maybe that's one of the, you know, story does have a beginning, a middle, and an end, and everybody's little segment has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so maybe that's just the nature. Maybe that's something we'll find in this experiment, that everything has a little arc, hopefully, or not.
Yes. No. Our piece, the first piece, is dramatic, but I actually slotted Allie's group second because they do comedy, and I wanted to see what that would be like. So, no. So,
yeah, mine's dramatic.
Maybe it would work better that way, but we're definitely trying to do all kinds of things. We're not even sticking with one.
The transition, so the transitions are going to be.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the next one we're going to make.
Yes. Great.
Utterly confused.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that sounds amazing. I'll have to check that out.
Huh.
Yeah. No, that's good information. Thank you. Yes.
I kind of told, I think that it should be a certain percentage of time of your film as opposed to 1 minute. So if you do a 2 minute, 3 minute film, you're giving away a third of it. So mine was at 3:47, something like that. So giving a minute away and also knowing that that turn was going to happen, I was like, man, I don't want him to see this. You know, like I want him to see this, that kind of thing. Or if I showed them this, then he'll know what my whole movie is about. And at least, so that would be one thing I would change. But
I mean, we had this big, Democratic town hall meeting with the first few filmmakers and some of the first few potential filmmakers where we kind of hashed out these rules, and it was this hours long session that seemed like the First Continental Congress or something like that, with people yelling at each other in nice ways. And I think one of the takeaways after seeing a few of these is that we were so obsessed on the minute details of these rules, and really you just give a bunch of artists two or three simple actions to do, two or three simple rules. It's like Fight Club, and and let them do it, and it seems like everything else takes care of itself. And so honestly, I think that I would just worry a little bit less about the finer points, and just pick two or three things and put numbers on them and write it on the wall and go.
Well, and our group was at this meeting, which was really long. And and by the end of it, we had all gone out and we said, Meg, you guys should have just made the rules up yourselves and just told us. And, you know, if you don't want to do it, if you don't want to live with it, then you don't do it. But if you do want to do it, then you're going to be a part of this no matter what. And I think one of the things that we thought was just kind of a really upsetting argument was this whole, Meg had given us a restriction, which, because of the meeting, was later turned into a request because people didn't want to have a restriction based on it. And at that point, it's like, well, if you're going to go as far as saying, yes, we're okay with the request, but we're not okay with the restriction, you might as well go with the restriction, because mm-hmm. otherwise, what's the point of having a request?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting?
I mean, what they had done was every group could pass on a restriction. And
so you must use a prop something. Or you must use an actor. Or you must.
And ours was we had to use Stacey, and it was like, okay, we'll work that in. Like, not a problem. We'll figure it out. But so we're happy that Scott used ours, because he was kind of one of the ones that was a bit.
And my issue with all of that was, during this meeting was, well, if you give people a chance to say no, they're going to say no because it's easier. So if we make it a request, then most people are just going to be like, oh, I don't have to do that. Oh, thank God. Great. And that's what I was worried about. But then actually Scott, it was really cool because he said, you know, they gave me this thing about I have to use orange juice. And at first I was like, I'm not going to use, well, it's a request, so I don't really have to use it. But then he found out that it was really cool, right? I mean,
yeah, making it an option didn't make any difference because everyone's actually used the request because you do find yourself needing things. And so, and I don't know if that would change if it was mandatory, but I was desperately looking for things. I was like, all right, cool. Eyelashes, orange juice, green screen, woman, yes, I got it, you know?
So. And honestly, I think there's two things here. There's the experiment and there's the end product. Would I change the rules for the experiment? No, because I think we're really kind of, you know, we're really like learning a lot and really pushing our boundaries. I might change some of the rules for the end product, for the purpose of the end product. And it might be a little bit more in line with a lot of the stuff that you're saying about trying to have a, you know, maybe a thematic through line or style through line or something so that it's more marketable at the end of it. But which kind of makes the hair stand up in the back of my neck because it originally wasn't supposed to be about the end product at all. It was supposed to be about the journey getting there. But there is something at the end of it, so. We'll steal it.
This is being recorded.
Yeah. Right.
We talked about that, and Stacey, I think, was really excited about that. She was like, I'll be the actress. I'll do 20 segments. That's great. I mean,
we also suggested a prop, though, however. I was like, or we could just use a prop. Like, there's a Polaroid in the first segment, so why don't we just pass the Polaroid, like, throughout? Like, everyone has to use this Polaroid. You can do whatever you want with it, but here, we're going to mail it to you. Like, you're in Australia. We're mailing it to you. Use this Polaroid, and you have to mail it on. So, but we decided not to do that.
I think that if there's any, I mean, part of the point of doing this and even part of the point of coming down to Austin to talk about it and stuff is not just to meet other directors or to further the project, although we want to do that, but also just kind of part of this experiment is throwing out to the world, like, what else can you do with digital video? What else can you do with video on the internet and collaboration? And it would be very cool to see other projects that already exist or to find other projects that haven't started yet that play with this idea, that screw around with a series that each one is shot in a different geographic location in the world. Or well, ours is this project is at tagfilm.com. And I don't know, the other one is whatever you call it, .wiki.com, right? It's whatever you make.
Oh boy, totally. You know, so, and this kind of made me think about another reason why we were kind of experimenting with this is that, I mean, as we all know sitting in this room, that the ability to tell stories has kind of democratized. And so everybody has access to all this like cheap ways of telling stories. And it means that anybody, you know, who can afford a couple, you know, cell phone even, could maybe go out and shoot a movie. And so the ways that stories are told have changed, and the ways stories are distributed have changed. But the one thing that hasn't changed all that much, although obviously, you know, with things like Baghead and stuff like that, you know, there's some pushing the boundaries a little bit, is story structure. You know, like screenplays tend to still be sort of three acts or eight segments or whatever, and, you know, and TV shows tend to be a certain format, and now there's this emerging format on the web based on YouTube, which is one act, 5 minute, 3 minute thing. But so we really wanted to see, you know, try to push, you know, so it's, in a way, it's sort of like a call to action to all of us as creators to see if we can push ourselves to experiment with different kind of story structures, right? And, okay, that's kind of esoteric, but. Yeah, and that's something that actually that's a really near and dear to my heart is how you can involve the people that are people that you're telling the story to, how you can involve them back in the story that you're telling, and how you can, you know, without going to the lowest common denominator, how could you, you know, let them guide it? Yeah.
Anyone else?
Okay.
What? Should we? We have a bunch of these questions.
Yeah. Okay. So this is for everybody. So when you started this project, what was sort of your outlook in making this? You know, how did it differ from making any other kind of short film?
I usually do everything myself, or have done everything myself, or with very few people, especially in short form anyway. This one, I think because of the time and because I was surrounded by incredibly talented people, I just wanted to hear what they had to say and what they thought and what they would do and all that. And I really even thought someone was actually going to write it for me. But once we finished with that little meeting, I just went and wrote it really quickly. And I thought I was going to have an editor do the editing. He really just kind of set my green screen setting for me, and I edited it as well. And but in the end, like, and then I'm being collaborative with all of just everyone in the project, and so it's kind of cool. It's gotten me out of my, you know, only child thing. I'm kind of playing with others, and it was really, really good, really great experience.
So for us, there's five of us, and all five of us have to be happy with whatever we do, which is really hard to even get all five of us in the same room. So for this one, I think that we actually we kind of went out of the five of us and brought in some other people who could help with making our film. And we brought in an extra writer because our writer has a tendency to just be slow. So she helped us, since you only have 2 weeks and technically really a week or however long so that you have time to shoot and edit. And then we also really love having, in our post-production, I always like to take like 2 weeks to 4 weeks off from editing just so that the project sits. And so when you go back, you can see what does actually work and what doesn't. And for this, we didn't really have that. So I think we brought in, the rest of the group came in a lot sooner and kind of gave that extra feedback since they hadn't been sitting with the project for however long I had been after.
Well, there was Six in Paris. I think they kind of started something. I think they did Six in Austin at some point too. And I mean, that was really more, it's not really like this. It's just more like kind of a collective of filmmakers that would hand off the film to each other. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We kind of went looking, and there's not a lot out there. I mean, this thing is by nature, I mean, in modern filmmaking, this thing is a copyright nightmare. And you don't know what you're gonna get. And the way that films are made and films are financed and films are put together doesn't necessarily lend itself towards the sort of like point and shoot, blind shot sort of thing. We found there's like some horror film on the internet that has the Exquisite Corpse title that in some way did something like this, but didn't seem to sort of have the same sort of story structure that we have. And I mean, there've been a lot of directors' collaborative films where directors will riff on a theme, but I don't know of one.
Well, recently The Signal was kind of an Exquisite Corpse film. Just another question, which is about the sense of the
No, we let everyone like do whatever, and it.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Definitely, yeah. Absolutely. Now that being said, that the first and the second segment do share a location. So at the very end of the first segment is a location, and these guys really wanted to bookend really nicely into the first segment, and so they start at that same location. So we were willing to kind of like tell them where it was, so they didn't have to drive around Brooklyn for 12 hours.
And I think I think Jason and Meg were the only ones that have seen our segment, and if you don't know where their segment ends, I don't think you know where our segment starts.
Right.
So it's really nice.
Happens in,
and,
yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And that's, to me, that's another kind of interesting potential game that you could have as a viewer. You could, going through this thing, trying to figure out where one story ends and one story begins. And some will be very obvious, you know, especially when you go from one medium to another, like film to animation or something like that. But I kind of want those aha moments in the audience where, like, oh, wait, now this is a totally different set of characters and a slightly different story, and it's the same theme, but, you know, that's mm-hmm. what I find kind of fascinating.
Yeah.
maybe every time you detect a different video format, you drink.
Right. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's 1080i. Yeah.
Yes. I think that's important, Nusha, to know. Thank you.
And Robert Rodriguez left the DJ because of that.
So. Yes, he did. I mean, it sounds kind of like, you know, separatist and elitist, doesn't it? I mean, isn't it great that we could just all be together and do stuff? I don't know. I don't really get it. Yeah.
I mean, I think it's a game, and I think it's a tricky game that people who make media now and people who make video media play, because there are a lot of rules in old media. There are a lot of rules in the various guilds. There's a lot of ways things are done, and like a project like this is very much about upsetting that and turning it on and turning storytelling on and turning ownership on and turning like what that final product is going to be on end. You know, on the other hand, I don't think that we're out to like create some race to the bottom where no one owns their content anymore. And I think that a lot of the fears that old media have been a way to protect content and ownership. And it has been very lucrative for a lot of people, but it's also maybe not, very fresh air in terms of the artistic content. And, I guess part of this experiment is seeing where we can show this.
Yeah, it's community. I mean, it's everything.
My feeling on it is that do the experiment.
And in terms of that kind of stuff, I mean, you know, you can try to shovel the tide. You can try to shovel the tide back out, but it's going to come in. You know, I mean, there's change happening right now. You know, radical change. It's already drastically affected the music industry. It's only a matter of time before it. And I right, exactly.
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah,
no.
We're hoping
we're
for
like, keeps making up rules for
this. Yeah, we're hoping for a Ben Hur like situation.
We totally want the Ben Hur. Yeah, the 5-minute Ben Hur. With hamsters. Right, okay, there you go.
Ben hamsters.
Yeah, no, I mean, restriction-wise, really, there aren't very many. We also talked about, like, what if somebody has a big budget and makes ours look bad? And we were like, well, okay, let them make something great, and, you know, we'll just live with it. So, yes?
My question is, how do you get 5 creatives to ever?
Email and cell phone are amazing, except most of them don't answer emails. So we do a lot of, I pull rank a lot. If you don't, and we do deadlines. If you don't answer by a certain time, your opinion doesn't count. Or not doesn't count, but you're too late to do that. So, because one of them's in Poughkeepsie and the other three are in Brooklyn, and Brooklyn is a bitch to get to sometimes.
Or you could just spend all of your time in Brooklyn.
I have.
We got a couch, you can.
I think we might have, do we have time for one more question? No? Okay, we have one more time. Thank you very much.
Thank you guys so much for coming.
Thank you very much.
You're troopers.